You are listening to Real World News. The next conference of the parties of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change will take place in November in Durban, South Africa, and national and regional social movements and organizations are working hard to prepare the civil society activities inside and outside the summit. In Bonn, Germany, where the current UN climate conference is taking place, the African social leaders have been speaking out. Several members of the Pan-African Climate Justice Alliance are present in Bonn. This alliance is made up by over 300 indigenous women, young people, religious, pastoralists, and fisher folk groups affected by climate change from 45 countries of the region. In Bonn, Real World Radio interviewed Bobby Peake, Director of Groundwork, Friends of the Earth South Africa, to know more about the work of the social movements and organizations from his country and the region in the road to the COP in Durban. In the interview, Peake made reference to the current negotiations in Bonn, his main concerns, the work done with several governments and other civil society organizations, and the parallel activities already planned in Durban to take place before and during the COP.
Real World Radio is interviewing Bobby Peake, representative of Groundwork Friends of the Earth South Africa, here in Bonn in this new round of the UN climate change negotiations. Bobby, welcome to Real World Radio. A lot of time without talking with you.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk to Real World Radio. I much appreciate it.
Thank you, Bobby. You have been off, you told me, you have been off this kind of events and UN meetings in the last years. How do you see this process here in Bonn in these negotiations on climate change?
Well, the last time I attended a climate change negotiation was in November 2002 in The Hague. So it's a very long time ago. So coming back to this negotiation after many years and coming back at in a situation where very little progress has been made on climate change is of serious concern to me. And I am asking myself, I'm asking Groundwork, and I'm asking South African civil society, is this the place where the most effective action can take place in relation to getting an effective challenge and an effective change on climate change? Can we stop climate change by being here? And that's the question I'm asking myself now. And I must say that while I am impressed by the amount of people here, I'm impressed by the amount of energy of the very many people here, both within government and within civil society, I just am very concerned that while I'm impressed, I see very little progress. So I see lots of energy, but I think a lot of that energy, if one has to look at the corporate capture of the UN and the many corporations here, is that we are fighting a losing battle at the UNFCCC.
Bobby, please tell us if there is a special any issue, topic, which is being negotiated here that worries you especially for any reason.
What is of concern in this particular forum is that we have all the scientific evidence to say that we are in trouble as a world with regards to climate change. We've passed 1 degree. We most probably never be able to get back to 1 degree. We most probably presently going to easily approach 2 degrees. And we all know what that means because we experience it daily, be it droughts, be it floods, be it loss of crops, be it the increase of malaria areas. we know what we experience. We feel that. And yet there seemingly is no movement here on getting to be able to agree on, for instance, what the second commitment period is going to be. So we have countries such as Norway saying they are committed to a second commitment period, and we go, yes, great. But they're committed to a second commitment period if all major climate change all major countries impacting on climate change come on board. And that means getting China, South Africa, India, Brazil, and other southern countries on board. And only then they will move. So actually, what the Kyoto Protocol says is that there will have to be a second commitment for Annex 1 countries, and yet they don't want to do it. They've done very little in the first one, first period, and they don't want to do the second period. Japan has just said to the South African ambassador, forget about it. We're not going to move. So I think many countries, Canada, has said they're walking away. Canada came, they had their supper, they ate their food, and now they're not paying their bill, and they're running away. They don't want to be part of that second period. So for me, the important thing is, how do we tie countries into the second commitment period, into pure reductions, not market-based reductions, reductions that are verifiable, that are at source, and that we can have confidence in, not only in the data that we get, but in the type of changes we see in the climate. So we need a verification system that says, wow, hey, this action has been taken, and now we see that there's been a drop in, for instance, the parts per million, or there's been a drop in the way the temperature is increasing. So we need some serious action in the next year, so that we have an ability to come back in 10 years' time and say, okay, that's the action and this is the change. But I fear none of that's going to happen.
Bobby, at the same time, the next UN conference on climate change will be in Durban, in your country. The social movements, organizations, the different representatives of the civil society are working very hard there. You are taking part of that work. And to get a second commitment period of the Kyoto Protocol, Durban must be the moment. It shouldn't be later, because the first period is ending the next year. Before we get into the process towards Durban, what's the work that you have been doing here, having several meetings, I can imagine, with representatives from civil society movements, from Latin America, Africa, Europe? Please tell us about your agenda here in Bonn, in the road to Durban.
So, for groundwork, the important process we're involved with in Durban is to seek to expose corporate capture, seek to expose false solutions such as clean coal, tar sands, gas, and all the fancy technologies that we talk about, carbon sequestration, etc. So as to be able to prepare for Durban just before the COP, the week before the COP, from the 22nd to the 25th of November, what we call a Dirty Energy Week, where we bring community people who live on the fence line and who are challenging fossil processes in the Niger Delta, Madagascar tar sands, Canada tar sands, Ecuador, Latin America, Indonesia, coal challenges. Bring those communities together with NGOs who are negotiating, and so we can build a relationship of effectiveness and of solidarity between the NGO negotiators and the community on the ground, so that the NGO negotiators are always at the forefront of their mind, knowing that they are speaking on behalf of community people. So that's our main aim come the COP. And so I'm hoping that Friends of the Earth International and other organizations we work with, movement organizations, are part of that process. And at the same time, to present at that process alternatives, transformative solutions that work. You know, people are saying, keep the oil in the soil, and so it's happening. People are saying, hey, we don't want coal energy, we want other forms of energy. People are saying, well, you know, in Europe, people are saying, we're prepared to use less. We're prepared not to have to consume as much as we do.
And so to be able to bring those that are fighting, saying keep the oil in the soil on the ground, those that are fighting in Germany to say we want to consume less, to bring those people together to show those alternatives. And then at the end of that week, on the evening of the 25th of November, is to have the Climate Gangster Awards for governments, for corporations that seek to undermine what we need, and that is an effective reduction in carbon emissions. So that's what I'm doing here, is to be able to speak to people on this and to be able to understand how other processes like the Climate Justice Tribunal, how will that fit into it, and a variety of other NGO processes that are happening, how do they fit into what we're thinking of in Durban. So that has been my main role here at a mobilizing outside level. On the inside level, because we are Friends of the Earth South Africa, we are Friends of the Earth Africa, and we are the Earth International, groundwork has to assist Friends of the Earth International when they come to Durban. So we came here to be able to understand the needs of the inside people. What will our inside negotiators need? And so we can link, as Friends of the Earth South Africa and Friends of the Earth Africa, link our inside negotiators such as Mina, such as Assad, Lucia. How do we link them to African negotiators? How do we give them an African voice? How do we link them to South African negotiators? And how do we then give them a South African voice? Because we all one as Friends of the Earth International. So to be able to understand, it's a complex thing. Groundwork hasn't been involved in the inside stuff. So it's a very big learning experience for me.
Bobby, and how do you see the work which is being done by the civil society groups there in South Africa towards this new COP? Do you have a unique space? I have heard something that there is a committee there which is organizing the work towards the new COP. How do you see this process?
So what the South African civil society groupings have done, COSATU, Groundwork, Earth Life, the Abashlali Basamandol, the big shack dwellers movement, the South Durban Community Environmental Alliance, and a variety of other organizations, 17, have come together and said, how do we create a democratic space? How do we create a space where movements, NGOs, people on the street are comfortable and are willing to come in and share ideas, challenge each other as movement people, as outside people, so that in our democratic challenging of our ideas and our positions, that we can forge as society a collective position. We are not saying the Committee of 17 is going to develop a position. They're not doing that. All they are doing is to create the democratic space so that we all can come into that democratic space and everybody can feel confident and everybody can feel inclusive in that democratic space. That space will be at the Durban University of Technology. The decision will be finalized at the end of June, and that is about 6 blocks away from the ICC, where the main inside negotiations will take place, and we are hoping that at this open space there develops a system where we can collectively get those on the inside to be able to come and effectively bridge and come and share what has to be shared with the outside process, and so that they remain confident about what their mandate should be. But we should also get governments to come, maybe, to say, hey, this is our position, so that society can challenge those government representatives. I would like to see, this is my position, maybe a groundwork position, but I would like to see possibly for Canada to come say that why we're not signing on to a second commitment period and why we're walking away. I'd love to see why the US is saying, hey, you know, from the beginning we thought this is a negative process, so we got the Copenhagen Accord. I would like to see why the South African government is investing so much in carbon energy when they know that as South Africa we most probably the highest per capita emitter in the world. You know, so for those governments to feel safe, but also as part of their democracy, that they can come to that space and talk in that space. But that space will bring together community people, NGOs, movement people, to be able to have a good dialogue.
And regarding this, Bobby, one of the critics that the social movements have done itself is we haven't been able to mobilize hundreds of thousands of peoples to pressure, to put a real pressure on the governments to change their bad positions. Are you thinking there in Durban, or have you already organized mobilizations, special demonstrations in the streets? What about this part of the work, this outside work, the UN Convention?
I would like to say that, that you know, we have worked to the extent that we can mobilize 100,000 people for Durban. The reality is not so, but the reality is that we have, at least in South Africa, recognize that we have an opportunity with the COP in our own democracy and in our own challenges in South Africa. We have an opportunity provided to us that we can use to build a movement. Because this is not about Durban, this is about Rio plus 20, it's about what happens in future. How are we going to continue to allow our governments to make undemocratic decisions in multilateral processes while we sit back at the nation state and just do nothing? So I think we think that this is an opportunity to continue South Africa's very good process of calling democratic process, of protest, of making our concerns known, of challenging for good democracy, to build and strengthen that. And so the Committee of 17 has brought together a variety of interesting groups of folk, groups of organizations, groups of movements, and I think we can build on that. So we're not going to get 100,000 people in the streets. We're going to get thousands of people in the streets, and we are going to ensure that those thousands of people will ensure that in South Africa that we build on and strengthen our democracy and our movements for the future. So that's the value of Durban. You know, at one level we said, well, Groundwork said when this came to Durban, ignore it. Why are we giving so much energy to the UNFCCC? Is it not a dead space? It's not delivering after 16 years? So why? So one of our positions in Groundwork was, ignore it. Let them do what they want to do. We're not going to actually stop them. But then we recognize possibly the value of using it to build and strengthen what we do.
Okay, Bobby. To finish, a question, and maybe you can add whatever I didn't ask you and you would like to say. I have heard here, this is the Cup of Africa. This is not the Cup of South Africa. This is Africa's Cup. What do you think about that? And anything else that you would like to add?
This is an African COP from two perspectives. The failure of the UNFCCC is going to hit Africa the hardest. And we know that already Africa is climate, its temperature increases 1.5 times higher than the global average. So if we fail, we're failing Africa. Africa's going to burn. You know, South Africa burned because of apartheid. Now we're going to burn because Africa's going to burn because of climate change. So that's the first thing we need to recognize. So that's why it's an AFCOP. The second thing, it's in Africa. It's in South Africa. It's in Durban. We're Africa, aren't we? And so let's recognize that. Yes, okay, a COP's a country-specific thing, and you know, actually, a COP isn't a country-specific thing. A COP is an international thing. It's not, you know, the Copenhagen COP. Its geography is that it's in Copenhagen or in Cancun, but actually, it's a global COP. But I think it's African for those two perspectives. One, that it is in Africa, and I think this will allow Africa to be much more vocal in its concerns around climate, and the Africa group hopefully will be able to be strong enough to resist the likes of basic countries, resist the likes of the European connection to Africa that seeks to exploit it, the US, and to be able to carve a voice for itself out within the G77. So maybe that's why I think it is the Africa COP.
Okay. It was Bobby Peak from Groundwork, Friends of the Earth South Africa. Thank you very much, Bobby.
Thank you, Jose.